This is Atlas Launch Control at T-minus 50 minutes and counting. With a single 10-minute built-in hold remaining, that means we are exactly 1 hour from the launch of the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter on a Lockheed Martin Atlas V rocket from Complex 41 at Cape Canaveral. At this point, liquid oxygen on the Atlas stage, 77% full. We're at flight level on the Centaur. And preparing for the loading of liquid hydrogen onto the Centaur very shortly. We're joined now by Tammy Harrington, the Mission Integration Manager for NASA at the Kennedy Space Center, who's been busy working the integrated operations on the MRO spacecraft and the Atlas V for quite some time. Tammy, welcome, and about when did Kennedy Space Center actually start preparing for this launch?
Actually, the Launch Services Program began working with the MRO project about 4.5 years ago, and it began with the exercise to actually buy the launch vehicle and select the launch vehicle that would be appropriate for sending it on its mission to Mars.
And then the team that you work with has a lot to do with the interface requirements, do they not, between the Atlas and the spacecraft? What do they need to be compatible to work together?
Correct. We manage the process by which the launch vehicle and the spacecraft actually come together, and we have to determine what needs to be done on the launch vehicle in order to accommodate the spacecraft, and how the spacecraft basically has to be designed in order to fly successfully on the launch vehicle on its mission to Mars.
So what was the main thing in choosing an Atlas V? What are some of the things that led NASA to believe that that was the right vehicle to fly this mission?
Basically, we put together a list of requirements on the spacecraft side related to the performance that's required and due to the mass of the spacecraft and the instruments that it wanted to fly. We also looked at the trajectory it needed to fly in order to get to Mars, and the Atlas V proved to be a very good match with meeting all of those requirements, in addition to the other special accommodations that the spacecraft required in its processing.
We're going to look some of the at some video now of the Atlas V processing, the Atlas and the Centaur, beginning with their arrival. And Tammy, if you can talk us through this.
Sure. Here you see the arrival of the Russian Antonov cargo plane arriving on March 31st of this year. It brought the first of the launch vehicle hardware that was going to be here for processing for MRO. It is known as the Common Core Booster, which is the first stage of the Atlas V. It arrived at the skid strip at the Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. The Common Core Booster is built by Lockheed Martin in Denver. And here you see the process by which it was loaded off of the airplane and placed on the flatbed truck in order to begin its roll to the Atlas Spaceflight Operations Center. This is the trip that it took to get to the high bay. And the ASOC previously was used for Titan IV solid rocket motor processing, and it went through a facelift and an expansion in order to accommodate the Atlas V. Here you see it moving into the high bay, where it performed powered-on testing of the stages and is stored until it rolls out to the vertical integration facility, which you see here. This process actually occurred on May 6th, and where it took its 4.1-mile trip out to the vertical integration facility. The picture you saw there was of the actual vertical integration facility is 293 feet tall, and this is where the rockets actually come together. It's located about 1,800 feet from the actual pad where the mission will be launched from. It features a 60-ton crane, which will hoist the segments of the Atlas V up to the mobile launch platform. This vertical integration facility is designed to withstand 140-mile-an-hour hurricane winds, and it has 7 automated movable platforms to allow access to various areas of the rocket. Now, this Common Core Booster is 12.5 feet in diameter, and it's about 106 feet tall. And there you see a picture of the Russian-built RD-180 engines, which actually power this stage of the launch vehicle. It is fueled by liquid oxygen and an RP-1 kerosene mix, and it will provide a liftoff thrust of 860,000 pounds. There is approximately 450,000 pounds of liquid oxygen that will be placed on board this stage, as well as 169,000 pounds of RP-1. And here you see the process by which this was placed in its vertical integration facility and waiting for the next piece of hardware to arrive. This picture here shows the arrival of the Russian Antonov plane yet again on the 6th of June. And this is where the Centaur upper stage came in, which is the workhorse of the Atlas program. And once again, it is shown taking off to go toward the Atlas Space Flight Operations Center High Bay. Once again, it would undergo pre-hoist testing prior to its move to the VIF, which occurred on the 17th of June. The Centaur for this is actually 10 feet in diameter. It's a structurally stable booster, and it's over 41 feet in length. Here you see the vertical integration facility doors rolling up, which are approximately 41 feet wide and 270 feet tall. They are reinforced fabric doors that will move up to allow for the individual Atlas V stages to be lifted up into the building. Now, the Centaur, there you see the designation of our mission here, the Atlas V 007 is the tail number for the MRO mission. This Centaur is powered by an individual RL-10 Pratt & Whitney engine, and it is fueled by liquid oxygen and liquid hydrogen and provides about 22,000 pounds of thrust. It is a restartable engine and is capable of multiple firings in space separated by coast faces. Now for the MRO mission, we actually will perform two Centaur burns. The first one will last about 9 minutes to inject the Centaur in a parking orbit, where it will coast for about 30 minutes to its optimal position prior to the start of the second burn, which lasts for about 5. And there you see the final configuration with the first two stages together. The next series of pictures you'll see here are sequences of an Atlas V wet dress rehearsal. We actually performed two of these dress rehearsals for the MRO mission, one on July 7th and one on July 19th. This is a test of the simulation of pre-launch countdown operations, as well as a fueling of the rocket. The Atlas V launches are controlled from the Atlas Space Flight Operations Center, which houses the launch control center you see here. All the officials, the engineering team, and customers that execute the countdown are actually in this facility during the countdown itself, as well as during the tests, which were known as the wet dress rehearsal. And there you see the final configuration upon fueling of the rocket. It's pretty unique here from the fact that the spacecraft encapsulated in its fairing had yet to be placed on top of the vehicle. That process began here in the early morning hours of July 28th, where you see the MRO spacecraft encapsulated in its fairing and rolling out to the vertical integration facility, and there it goes by the shuttle vehicle assembly building on its way there. The vehicle had been processed previously at the payload hazardous servicing facility since the April timeframe, and it went through a series of tests in order to verify its readiness for encapsulation and eventually for launch. And on the way out to the pad, we had to monitor and maintain all the environments in the fairing in order to make sure that the instruments were actually safe and secure and maintained at the temperatures and humidity requirements that they needed. The version of the fairing that we actually fly for the MRO mission is a 4-meter fairing, which is about 14 feet in diameter and about 40 feet long. It's built in by Lockheed Martin in Harlingen, Texas. Obviously, you can see that given its relative size, it's a pretty large spacecraft that's encapsulated there. And in its final configuration, it's 188 feet high and has a gross liftoff weight of 740,000 pounds.
Well, Tammy, after it's on top of the rocket, what are the things that they have to do from that point to launch?
Actually, we underwent a series of integrated systems tests, which were to verify the electrical compatibility between the launch vehicle and the rocket. And the spacecraft itself also went through battery conditioning and reconditioning, as well as cover removals, and then some functional testing as well to verify its systems were functioning nominally in order to get us to this point today.
Has the spacecraft got their own set of tests that they have to complete as well, or is it all an integrated thing?
Some of them are integrated and some of them are separate. There were some integrated things related electrically, but there were also things that the spacecraft had to do individually.
Well, Tammy, thank you very much. I'm sure you're looking forward to see the fire in the hole, as everyone calls it. And Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thanks, George.
Thanks.